So we are talking about Easter. And in this last week, we have been looking at a particular story about the parable of the tenants, where Jesus tells a story in his final week before he is crucified and killed. He tells a story and he says, a man owned a vineyard and he let some people look after it. And he sent servants to come to the vineyard. And they rejected him. They rejected the servants. And so he sent his son. And they rejected his son. In fact, they killed his son. And of course, Jesus was telling a story about him coming and how he was rejected and crucified and killed. But there's a verse in that passage that Jesus quotes from Psalm 118. The stone the builders have rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That means a stone that everyone else threw out has now become the stone around which everything else is built. And I want us today, this morning, to have this phrase in our minds. Be careful what you call an ending. With God, it can be a beautiful beginning. Be careful what you call an ending. With God, it can be a beautiful beginning. I wonder if you can think of things where, or times where it seemed like an end, but then it's been a surprise and it hasn't been an end, but something else has happened. I think of things like, you know, when you go to the cinema and the end credits roll, and then right at the end of the end credits, there's this end credit scene. And you see these people on their phones going, is there an end credit scene? Shall we stay or shall we go? And you get this surprise. There's an end credit scene. What you thought was the end of the film isn't the end of the film. There's this great little end credit scene. What else did I think about? I thought about The Lion King. That's a great film, isn't it? The Lion King. Where people think Simba is dead. Sorry, I always get told off for telling, for spoiling films and giving the ending away, but I'm sure you've all seen The Lion King, haven't you? Yeah. But he isn't. And he comes back to be king. Or I'm a Star Wars fan. Return of the Jedi, it looks like Luke is going to be killed, but then right at the last minute, his father comes and saves him from the Emperor. Things that we think are endings, and then they're not. And of course, the great story, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, which is an allegory, a copy of the Easter story, where Aslan is dead on the stone table, and then he comes back to life. That which seemed like an ending is not. It is just a beginning. The stone the builder has rejected has become the chief cornerstone. I think there's this lovely little video that Brian and Dom are going to show us now in a minute. It's very short. You have to really watch carefully. But it always makes me laugh. It's the soldiers outside the tomb. They've been sent to guard the tomb. Jesus has just been crucified. And they must have thought, this is an easy job, just guarding a tomb with a dead person in it. And then this happens.
Hey! What?
Can we watch that again? It's so good. Can we just watch it one more time?
Hey! What?
So I just want what you think is an ending with God is often a beautiful beginning. I want to just look at two people briefly this morning who encountered Jesus when he'd come back from the dead. First one is Mary. And we've already talked about Mary this morning. Sam's talked about her. I'm just going to read a little bit of Bible for us. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, so the tomb where Jesus had been buried. She wanted to go and just pay her respects. She loved Jesus, and the person that she loved, she thought was dead. She went to the tomb, and she saw that the stone in front of the tomb had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. When it says the other disciple, it means John, the one Jesus loved, and said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. Then we're told that Peter and John run to the tomb to see for themselves, to see the empty tomb. And it says they believed, but they didn't see Jesus yet. They were like, what is happening here? This is an empty tomb. What's going on? And then it says, Mary stayed behind and stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, woman, why are you crying? It's a bit of a silly question, isn't it? She's lost her best friend. You'd be crying, wouldn't you? Why are you crying? They've taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. I don't know why she didn't recognize Jesus. I wonder whether it's because she was crying so much. You know, when you cry, your eyes fill up, don't they? And you can't really see very well. I wonder whether it was that. I don't know. But it says she didn't recognize him. Maybe she just wasn't expecting to see Jesus. Thinking he was the gardener. She thought Jesus was the gardener. She said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him. And then Jesus says one word. He doesn't give a big explanation. He just says one word, and he says her name, Mary. And she turns towards him and cries out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. It's actually like a really good friend word, like it's something you would say to someone if you're really good friends with them and you really love them, Rabboni. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. And then Mary runs to tell the disciples the good news. I have seen the Lord. Can we just watch that little bit of video of Mary? This just helps us to see this story. They actually get this, sorry, just pause it one moment. Just a little bit of a disclaimer. They actually get this timing wrong here a little bit. But the timing that I've just read is the right order of things. It doesn't really matter, but just to say. Okay, thank you.
Crying. What are you looking for?
Sir, if you have carried him away, please tell me where you have laid his body.
Mary.
So my first question to us this morning is, Mary was often, well, she was obviously really upset. She was grieving. She'd lost someone that she loved. She was really sad. And into that place, Jesus said her name, Mary. Where do you need Jesus to say your name today? What situation in your life where it feels like an ending maybe? Or it feels like you don't know where the hope is. Where do you need Jesus to say your name today? Because believe me, today he knows each one of your names in this room. He knows your name, Jesus does. And he wants to be someone who speaks hope into situations where we think it's an ending. Be careful what you call an ending, because with God it is often a beautiful beginning. So that's the first question. The second person, there's a picture, just put that one up of Jesus meeting Mary. We'll just have that there whilst we think about the next one. The second scene and the final scene is Peter. And if you remember, Peter was one of the disciples for Jesus. And he was someone who had said, I will never deny you. Can you remember at the meal he had, the Last Supper, he said, I will never deny you. And Jesus said to him, before the cockerel crows, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter says, no way. You're my friend. You're someone that I follow. There's no way I will ever deny you. And then we're told in the story that when Jesus had been arrested, Peter is around a charcoal fire. Now, it's really important, this bit of detail. John uses the word for charcoal only twice in his gospel. It only appears twice. It appears at the scene where Peter denies Jesus, and it appears later at a scene where Jesus meets Peter and invites him back into relationship. And it's a deliberate thing. Peter denies Jesus around a charcoal fire. Peter is brought back into relationship with Jesus around a charcoal fire on the beach. And Peter, he is around this fire, and people go to him and go, you were with Jesus. You were with him. And what would you do in that situation if you thought, if you admitted to being with Jesus, that you might get arrested? What would you do? Yeah, exactly. It's understandable, isn't it, what Peter did, where he denied him. I don't think any of us would find fault with Peter. But he denied him three times, and then the cockerel crowed, and it's told that Peter weeps because of what he's done. And later, after the resurrection, even though Jesus has come back to life and that Peter's seen Jesus back to life, we're told that Peter goes back to fishing. He goes back to fishing, and he's like almost going back to what he knows. It's like he's a broken man. He knows that he's let Jesus down. And there's this beautiful scene where Peter is on a boat fishing. And he's with the other disciples, and he sees Jesus on the shore with a charcoal fire. And Jesus is basically a barbecue. He's having a barbecue on the beach, and he's cooking fish, and he sees Jesus, and Peter goes, it is the Lord. And he doesn't wait for the boat to get back to the shore. He leaps off the boat. I always imagine it a bit like that scene in Forrest Gump, you know, where Forrest Gump leaps off the boat when he gets some news that he needs to go home for. And he just leaps off the boat before the boat goes anywhere. It's like that. And Peter leaps off this boat to go and be with Jesus. And then we have this beautiful scene where Peter is with Jesus around the charcoal fire. And he says this, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Yeah, three. How many times did Jesus give Peter the chance to say he loves him? Three. Around the charcoal fire, reinstated him to relationship. Feed my sheep. You know that I love you, Peter says, three times. Peter is a man who's given up on himself. He's denied Jesus around the fire. And then Jesus reinstates him into relationship, says, you can be my friend. Do you ever feel like the way that you are, there's no way that God would want me to be in relationship with him? Have you ever been in that place? Is it just me? There is nothing that will remove us from the possibility of relationship with Jesus. Nothing. What seems like an ending, what seems like a place of no hope, with Jesus is always a place of hope. There is always the possibility of a new beginning, always. Peter had given up on himself. I've let the Lord down. I've been with Jesus. I've seen the miracles. I've seen everything he's done. And yet I still denied him. What must he have felt like? It's so comforting to have people like Peter in the Bible. Today, on Easter Sunday, we do not sit in Good Friday, in the cross, which is wonderful as it is. We do not sit in death and in there being no hope. We know that God, that Jesus has the last word on all things. Our relationships, he has the last word on death. There is eternity that we can be invited into. That is the hope of today. And nothing will ever remove you from that possibility of relationship with Jesus. He will always be on a beach cooking a meal. Do you want to come and eat with me? Do you want to come and eat with me? Do you want to be in relationship with me? If so, there'll be a little bit of business we'll need to do where we need to say sorry and we come before him. But it's around a meal. How welcoming and invitational is that? It's not like standing there in front of you going, right, you've done something wrong. You need to say sorry. It's around a meal. Invite into relationship. Do you love me? And he says that to you and me today. Do you love me? Is there some voice in your head that says, there's no way he can love me? That is a lie. Forgive me, but that is a lie. He loves you. And there is nothing that will separate you from his love in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Just come to him. Come to him. If it helps you to have that image of Peter, who totally denied Jesus, who rejected Jesus, if it helps you to have that image, picture yourself there where Peter is sat now. Picture yourself with Jesus' arm around your shoulder saying, do you love me? And you can say, you know that I love you. You can say that today. I am not finished with you. The world needs a church that believes that in Jesus, endings are often beautiful beginnings. It's not just for you and me today. We carry a hope that this world needs. There are so many places in the world, so many situations in the world where it seems hopeless. But Jesus says, with me, there is always hope. We sometimes don't see it. Always we live in this gap between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. But one day he will come back and one day he will make all things right. And we get to be people in the moment now, in this time, to say, this is the hope we have. This is the truth about Jesus. I'm going to put two images on the screen. And they're the images we've already seen. And I would just love us to, for the last 2 or 3 minutes, one thing I love about what Streetwise do is you always, I've taught longer than you're normally used to, please forgive me. But I know one of the things I love about Streetwise is that you often sit and you discuss stuff that's been said. So I'd love us just for 2 or 3 minutes to pause and to think about these two questions. Which picture speaks most of you today? Mary in the garden or Peter on the beach? Why? Are you in a place of grief? Do you need hope? Mary was in a place of grief. Are you in a place of, I don't deserve relationship with Jesus? Today, on Easter Sunday of all days, we say, in him, there is hope. There is life. He has the last word on all things. Is there a situation in your own life or in someone else's that you love where you would most want Jesus to show up and speak hope into? Now, I am aware that me up on stage asking people to turn to other people and talk is always a bit, for some people you're going, yeah, great, I've been waiting to talk. I love talking. Other people are like, eh. Who remembers Adrian Plass? Do you remember Adrian Plass? Yeah. I always remember something he once said. He said, there's real power from the person up on stage. And he always lived in fear of him saying, just turn to the person next to you and swap clothes with them. I'm not going to say that. But if you would like to turn to someone around you, someone you've come with, it's an opportunity to say hello to someone and just say, you don't have to go say lots, you don't have to reveal lots, but just say, this means something to me because, or I would love Jesus to speak into this situation. It's just good to share that together. If you would prefer just to sit in quiet and reflect, that is absolutely fine. That's fine. We'll just have 2 or 3 minutes. Let's just do that now, and then we're going to finish with some worship. Great. Let's bring those conversations to a close. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship together again. Hopefully you've had a chance to just reflect a bit. Please do keep, if you've met someone new today, please do keep your conversations going after the service. We'd love you to stay and be able to do that. Just to say, we will always be a church that doesn't just talk about Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday, it's absolutely right we do it today. But we are a church that will... sit with the reality of what life is like. The Good Friday, if you like. We're like an Easter Saturday, aren't we? We know that Sunday's coming. We don't see it all fully realized. But we do carry a hope. We are able to say to people, as we sit with people, as we sit with each other in the different things that are going on in our lives, I'm here with you. Jesus has been here. He speaks hope into your situation. And we know that one day, Sunday will fully be realized. And he will come back and he will make all things new. So in that place of knowing, let's be a church that sits in the reality and also brings hope into that. Let's pray together and then we're going to worship. Father God, we thank you again for this beautiful day. We thank you for the truth of your resurrection power. We thank you for the truth that you are a God who chose to come close to us. You chose to be one of us, to live amongst us in the mess, in the nuts and bolts of life. That you are not unaware of what it's like to live in this world. Thank you that you are that sort of a God, and we choose you today. And Lord, thank you for the hope that you bring to us, that with you, there is always hope, that with you, what looks like an ending is often a beautiful beginning. And I pray for anyone here this morning for whom they feel like there is no hope, for where they feel like there is an ending in their life. And I pray, Lord, that in you they would see the hope, that in you, as they put their hands into your hand, they would walk with you and be led to a place of resurrection and hope and life. I pray that for all of us, that the blessing of your resurrection life and hope would be within us this morning. And now, Lord, we can only do one thing, and that is worship you, give you praise and glory. So let's, amen.